positive enlightenment. All you need in one place, here at hrnradio.com.
Welcome. This is Way of the Dreamer, the radio show. This is Robert Noss. This is where we affirm, celebrate, and act upon the guidance, wisdom, and playfulness of our dreams and synchronicity and our creative imagination. We have a wonderful lively guest today, Kelly Sullivan Walden. She's one of my favorite enthusiast ambassadors for the dreaming. She has her own radio show. She has books. She has a hero's journey set of dream oracle cards, which is fun. She does coaching. And welcome, Kelly.
Thank you, Robert Moss. Wow, one of your favorites. I just need a moment. I'm gushing over here.
You're always fizzing and effervescent in the bubbliest, happiest way. In this particular show, I decided to devote to the playfulness of dreams. Of course, we also talk about how dreams are a personal oracle. And I'd like to start, Kelly, by offering a very simple meditation that I give people from time to time. Mm-hmm. Amazingly, I've never done it on the radio show. So I'd like you to join me and our listeners in a visit to the Dream Cinema. Would that be all right?
Oh, I would love it. Yes.
Well, let's just all settle down for a moment, get your gorgeous body in a relaxed, comfortable position. Now, we're going to go to a place where you can find the dreams that want to play with you right now. You might be a prolific dreamer, in which case some things might jump out of that tropical jungle of your nights and your days of reverie, for that matter. Or you might be someone who's lost her dreams. I mean, so many people in our culture are bereft of dreams. They're suffering a dream drought. Either way, whether you're someone who's missing their dreams or someone who has so many it's sometimes hard to figure out what to do with them, I think you'll enjoy this very simple journey meditation to the Dream Cinema. And we're going to enter it by using memory and desire, memory of dreams that might be coming back, and in particular of a locale that you know. So I want you to picture right now a place like a cinema or a theater. Well, you've been excited, well, you've had some fun, maybe had great popcorn or snacks, maybe you were there on a romantic date. Maybe there's a movie that brought tears to your eyes or got your heart beating faster. Maybe it's not cinema down the way. Maybe it's one of those big multiplex cinemas. Maybe it's a cinema from childhood where you used to watch the matinee. Maybe it's a theater or a concert hall. I'd like you to picture from your life a location like this. It might be a composite. It might have a bit of this, a bit of that. I often find it starts out with a rather groovy art cinema in my neighborhood, but they do have good popcorn and some unusual foreign films. So what is your version of the Dream Cinema? Find it. Let it come out of your life, out of your memory. And I want you to picture yourself approaching your cinema. And there's the entrance, and there's the marquee with current attractions. Maybe your name is up there. Maybe the cinema itself has an interesting name. I mean, maybe the cinema is playing your life dream. Maybe there are titles of current things that are on offer that interest you. Maybe there are phrases that are tantalizing. Maybe things you recognize from movies you've been to, but maybe there's something new. And there are posters, of course. So as you approach the cinema, you're getting a glimpse of titles and images that might be all about you. Even if the titles or images seem to be literal movies you have seen, they might be relevant to your story right now. But amongst all that stuff, there are going to be things that are unique to your own. Titles and images from your dreams, from your visions, from your hopes, from your yearnings. And you picture yourself opening the door and stepping inside the cinema, and there, of course, is a ticket booth or something like a ticket booth. And there's someone at the ticket booth. I wonder what that someone looks like. He, she could look different for you than the way she looks for anybody else, because our guides dress for occasions. So what's the person at your ticket booth look like to you right now? Take a look. And he or she is probably going to wait for you to pay the price of admission, and the price of admission here is to tell her or him, I've come for the dreams I need to see right now. Try that. Or I've come for the story I need to know right now. Something like that. You might find you have something else to offer. The person at the booth might tell you you can't bring that in here, and you might be surprised to find you're carrying some baggage, which might represent some old attitude, some self-limitation, something that holds you back. And you might have to put that down. That could be an interesting moment. Let's assume you have permission to go in. Maybe you stop for popcorn and snacks and drinks. Maybe you go straight to a viewing room, a screening room. And there are comfortable seats. Seems to be empty apart from you to begin with. As you move towards that space, you're probably noticing more posters, more signs about coming attractions, and past screenings, and maybe all of that is speaking to you. And here you are, settling down into a comfortable seat in your private, what for now is your private viewing space. And there is the screen. Maybe the curtains have to come back. There is the screen, and now they're playing what? They're playing trailers, probably. Images are flashing, like maybe like that parade of faces and images you get in the space between sleep and awake in bed. Things are popping up and coming and going, and not too clear to begin with. But you know what? As you begin to settle into this, you're seeing bits and pieces from dreams of the night, dreams of life, dreams of your imagination, dreams of your heart's desire, popping up and going away. I mean, I'm seeing right now bits and pieces from the twilight space and from the night before we did the show, from last night, from this morning, bits and pieces. Gee, they gave me the wrong seat on that plane. Can I change it? Wow, look at all those doors. Wow, gains for three on a motorbike in Central Europe. So bits and pieces from my night that are coming up like flashes on the screen, like trailers. And as you settle in, you know, what's going to come up on the screen will be a feature film. A feature film you need to see right now. I wonder if you have a sense of what it is. Get a sense of it? Might be a dream you know well. Might be one that's been with you for years. Might be something from last night you forgot. It might be something that's never played in your mind until now because it's one of those lost dreams, one of those missing dreams. One of the ones that whizzed by you because you weren't available, you weren't in. So this is a great place to find dreams that we lost, and it's a great place to discover dreams that are waiting for us, being made by our dream producers in another world right now because they show us things we need to see. And maybe, what is coming up on the screen or what could come up the screen on the screen when you try this again in your own time, it's going to be a dream of your life, a dream of your heart's deepest desires. And if you let that grow rich and strong and feel yourself stepping through the screen into that scene, you might be present at the creation of something that you really long for. So this is very brief. We're not doing drumming or anything else. We're just laying out a field of possibility. And if you want to go on with it, you know what? One of the best places to go on with something like this is in that drifty, dreamy space between sleep and awake, in the privacy and comfort of your own bed, in your own space. And you just allow images to play on your inner screen. So that's an invitation to your personal dream cinema, not only to pick up a few flashes now, but to grow that cinema strong so that you have a place for your creative imagination, place for your life dreams that can renew and grow. Okay, Kelly, did anything come to you in the visit to the dream cinema?
Oh, yes. God, that was beautiful, Robert. Thank you so much for leading us in that. And I,
great.
A different dream than I expected I was going to share. This one was, I'll just launch in. I was at a party with a bunch of adults, and there was this young boy who I was shocked at how mature but confident and still playful he was amid all these adults. Like, he was the only kid, and yet he was completely himself, but completely confident. And I asked him in kind of a Shakespearean way, it was really odd. I said something like, whereby do you derive the source of such confidence?
That is rather Shakespearean. That's the iambic pentameter. Well done.
Thank you.
Whereby? That's not household talk anymore. It's good, though.
Yes.
Carry on.
So he responds, my father already made me golden.
Oh.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. And I was struck in the dream, just like, oh my God, he already knows that he was made golden by his father. And he hasn't forgotten that. He knows that. So he doesn't have anything to prove. He's got no chip on his shoulder. He's fine. So all he has to do is play and enjoy wherever he's at. And then suddenly I know that there's a big ceremony that's going to happen, and he's supposed to lead the ceremony, and he knows it, but he's never led a ceremony before. He's a little boy. So I whisper in his ear like Cyrano de Bergerac, and I'm aware that he's not nervous, that he doesn't know what the heck he's doing. And I whisper, put Esther as the goddess in the north, and it's all my mother's friends, my mother's best friends from high school. Esther is my godmother, by the way. Esther put her in the north, and put Anne Harriet as the goddess in the south, and put Fran in the east, and put Julie in the west. And so I'm telling, and then I say, now go and touch everyone's third eye, and remind them that they were also born golden. And so he does, and it's, and there's like this joy that breaks out, and it's very sweet and very fun, and that's the dream.
Wow. I love it. Talk about playing a movie in the dream cinema. You're
yes.
playing one for us. This is so really exciting. So if,
yes.
this film has, if this film has a name, if this movie has a title, Kelly, what might that be?
My father already made me golden.
Oh, beautiful. And what are you feeling around this?
I'm feeling like, I'm feeling woke, as they say. I'm feeling
woke.
Like, oh, yeah.
Woke.
Like,
yeah. I don't know whether they use that term in Shakespeare's time or not.
I don't think so.
But I hear you.
Henceforth, whereby I am woke.
Henceforth, whereby I am woke. It gets better and better. Is anything in this, well, there are familiar elements, aren't there? Because you start talking about Esther, the name of your godmother and
yes.
other people, you
yes.
know, and you've got these four women's names. Are all four of these women actual people or names that resonate to you in some
way? Yes, they're all my, well, they're, Esther is my primary godmother, and then the other ones are kind of like secondary godmothers, and one of them is my mother. My mother is Julie.
Mm.
So I put her in to hold one of the directions. But all I know is that I'm left with this feeling of such ease and joy, and it's the feeling that I get actually when I'm with you, Robert, where it's like there is a playfulness, and yet it's an awakened playfulness. It's not just goofy. It's like fun and free, like on purpose, but fun and free about it. So it's kind of my favorite.
I must say this dream is arousing a certain kind of longing in me, Kelly, because I'm just a boy, as you know, and I really wish that at 9 years old or ever whatever age your golden boy is, I wish I'd had four goddesses standing at the four directions. It would be even better if they had bodies in the physical world, beaming, you know, confidence and support. To me, I mean, I can identify with this boy in some ways myself, except that I was a more lonely and vulnerable boy than he seems to be. I can think of boys today who have some of these qualities, actually. So if it's my dream, it's impossible for me not to find the boy as a part of myself, and maybe the father as part of myself, too. But actually, I can also identify with the father in a more than literal sense. It sounds like he's speaking of the father as his divine father, doesn't it? That seems
so. Yes.
Sounds as if
you're
speaking about a divine being, call it God or something else. But I must
yes.
say, I feel this intense longing to have the four goddesses of the four directions. Wouldn't mind having them right now, actually.
Well, you can have them, boom, right now. They're yours.
Well, I am surrounded by goddesses in a sense because I teach so many wonderful women. But and
yes.
I got you on my show. And I guess if, in honoring the dream, you'll have no difficulty saluting the four women you named as goddesses of your life, right?
Yes, it's so true, because I normally see them as kind of like, I don't know if you ever heard of the book, The Yaya Sisterhood, or The Divine Secrets of the Yaya Sisterhood.
Yeah.
But I think of my mom's friends from high school that she's still friends with now. I think of them as this fun club of women, and they've shown up, the four of them have shown up in my dreams before, and they've always been important dreams that felt fortuitous and awakening kind of thing. So this is, I didn't put that together yet until just now.
Well, I would certainly, if it's my delicious dream, carry the idea that they are a divine sisterhood, and whether I tell them overtly about it or not, and I might, depending on the situation, but I'd certainly carry the thought that this is what they are and treat them accordingly. I mean, with good humor and grace, but also with that degree of laughing reverence, let's say. If this is my dream, it's added to my personal mythology. I don't know. I mean, it's very clear to me if it is my dream that I am to think about the boy as an aspect of myself. I don't know whether you consider that as well. I mean, one way of looking at dreams is to make the point everything in the dream is an aspect of the dreamer. It works out to a point. But dreams aren't just psychological dreams. Take us beyond the psychology of the self into transpersonal connections. And you've called in the divine sisterhood. So there are transpersonal elements. I guess I might just for fun do a bit of bibliomancy and open Shakespeare at random and see what's looking at me on the page. You know? Because where nearby, I might find more that will make me work, you know?
Yes. The part that's striking me at this exact moment is the fact that he was supposed to... This was... I actually called this dream before talking to you. I called it the grand ceremony. So, but I like My Father Already Made Me Golden as a title, but the fact that this boy had no idea what he was doing consciously and wasn't nervous or scared or freaking out, he just allowed me at that moment to whisper in his ear and tell him. So to me, that, like, often I feel in my life that I'm best when I don't have a script, when I don't know what I'm doing, but I'm aware, in contrast to the dream, that sometimes there's a little bit of, oh, maybe I should know what I'm doing. But if I trust that there's always something whispering in my ear, if I'm available to it, then this dream just gives me a little bit more, or maybe even a lot more, trust in the process of my life. So that's the piece I'm taking from it at the moment.
Yes. I mean, if it's my dream, my mind is thrown back to several dreams over the years. I now have to go through, get out my search engine and pull them out of my journals. Fortunately, I have most of my journals transcribed in a word program, so I have a search engine. But I've had many dreams, I've recorded many dreams over the years involving the birth of a golden child,
oh,
the coming of gold,
really?
A golden king. Yes, many. I mean, I can think of at least half a dozen. There might be many more. It's been a recurring theme in my dreams that here is the golden child, or here is the coming of the golden king, actually. And all of these dreams have filled me with a sense of awe, of mythic power, of gratitude, and even of sort of relief that some force, some glowing, radiant force for good is coming into the world. Sometimes there's an aspect of the warrior of the light, but more important than that is simply that this is golden, that there is a being coming into the world who is golden. And I've had it in relation to the birth and the coming of individuals who carry some of that energy. So you're going to inspire me to go back and look at the significance of the golden child, of the golden youth. And in a general way, I mean, what delights me in this also is the sense that here is direct access through the dreaming with a magical child. The age of the magical child in each of us might vary. The magical child in any one of us might range from an infant to a teenager, but the magical child in each one of us is that part of us which has all the joy and energy and imagination we will ever need, which unfortunately, as we progress into adult life with the disappointments and compromises involved, sometimes goes missing. But certainly the golden child is here, the golden boy is here, and I am privileged, if I am Kelly, to be watching over him and appointing a divine sisterhood so he is tended and protected at all four cardinal directions. This is a really cool dream.
Thank you.
If you're going to carry a banner from it, I mean, I'm actually picturing a heraldic banner, so not just a chyron scrolling across the bottom of the TV monitor or what we call a bumper sticker. If you were to compose a slogan, some words of power to go on a banner which you could wave above your head based on the dream and the discussion, do you have a phrase?
This might be a little long to fit on the banner, but it would be something like, "My father already made me golden, and your father already made you golden. Our father already made us golden." And maybe our mother is here to remind us of that. But I think the whole point is that in the last part of the ceremony was about reminding everyone, like touching their third eye and reminding them that they're also golden. And it's kind of like one of those big duh moments. I could have had a V8. I should have known, like, oh, I know this stuff. What was all that commotion about? So that's my banner is, I'm already golden and so are they. Let's get over ourselves, people.
I'm golden and so are they. Well, we are golden and the divine sisterhood is watching over us. It's really good stuff. All right, we're talking to the golden Kelly Sullivan Walden. We'll get her website. What is your website, Kelly?
KellySullivanWalden.com or IHadTheStrangestDream.com.
IHadTheStrangestDream.com. That sticks in the mind. All right, you're listening to Way of the Dream with Robert Moss. We'll be back after the break. Welcome. You're listening to Way of the Dreamer with Robert Moss. Our wonderful guest is Kelly Sullivan Walden. She is at Union Station in Los Angeles, she just told me. And what a nanaric, what a dreamlike location a train station is. When I was a boy, golden or not, I loved trains profoundly. I had model trains all over the floor of my room. I liked living in Melbourne, Australia. I used to get on the train lines on Saturday and ride to the terminus of each line and get the little timetable, that little booklet at the end of each train line. There's nothing aesthetic about these booklets. I just like to have them. And I noticed that all of my life, I have dreamed of trains and train lines in a number of ways. First of all, Kelly, I'll see something that looks like a model train set up. And then in the dream, I'll look at it more closely and find it's all alive. And it's not necessarily the figures from my boyhood bedroom. It's a little scene, like a village or a community. And I can change scale and go down and get into it and either remain an observer or be an actor and move around. So it becomes an entry point into a drama. It might be playing out in this world or might be playing out in some other world. And then in another sense, like other dreamers, I'm constantly reminded of the symbology of trains. I mean, a train goes on a line or a track. What line or track are we on? A train might evoke training. I lead trainings for teachers of active
training
and so on. A station might be a stop, a pause, or a destination. So I'm endlessly fascinated by what's going on when we dream of trains. I guess in California, you don't take trains all that often, do you?
No, gosh, not in Los Angeles. Everyone drives a car, so it's very bizarre. But
I recall it. You're a pedestrian, look out.
Exactly. Oh, yeah. There's a song, Nobody Walks in L.A. Nobody does anything but drive in L.A. But an interesting
last time, I walked any distance, it wasn't very far in L.A. It was actually in Glendale, where I used to lead workshops. I'm crossing the road, and suddenly two cops out of Central Casting with dark uniforms and huge motorbikes are up on the pavement on either side of me, demanding to know why I was jaywalking. There's no traffic in sight anywhere. And they really give me the fifth degree. When they look at my license, they hand it back and let me off and say, you keep your out-of-state license with you, buddy, because L.A. County isn't paying for your funeral. That was welcome to Los Angeles.
Oh, nice. Welcome to the city of
angels. That was an out-of-state experience as a pedestrian in Los Angeles. But we're starting to talk about trains.
Oh, my goodness.
What do you find when you work and play with dreams of trains?
Well, this is kind of the play that what I'm struck by is that it's Union Station. And I've been playing with this notion of whoosh, W-O-O-S-H, like whoosh, being in the whoosh when things are just moving quickly and I'm going with it and I'm allowing this vessel that I'm on to be, and I'm in the flow and I don't have to drive it, I don't have to figure out where it's going, but I'm a part of it. So I feel like I've been saying that word a lot. So here I am, I'm at Union Station, and it's also this play on words about being in unity. But here's kind of another random piece. I'm sitting facing a building called Mosaic. And years before, this is a building that my parents moved to years ago in their retirement. And they were telling me, we want to move to downtown Los Angeles from the sleepy suburbs of Whittier. And I was like, but you guys are getting older. That's not safe. I don't approve of this. And I was very kind of hostile about it. And then I had a dream where the only thing that I got was just the word mosaic. And I wrote that down, and my mom said the next day, we found this beautiful building, and it's called the Mosaic. And I thought, okay, fine, you have my full support. And they lived in this building for many years, and they moved since then. But I'm here facing this building, and it's like, it came right out of a dream. And this is a wonderful time in their life to be in this place, right at Union Station, where they could come and go anywhere, where you don't have to struggle to go to any place that you want to go to. Access is right at your fingertips. So to me, there's something about that in the, not just a train, but a train station that is that intersection of so many places.
And the Mosaic building you're looking at is literally the one they lived in.
Yes. Yes.
And that was all facilitated by a dream.
Yes. Well, my support for them was facilitated
by the dream. Your support was mobilized by your dream.
Yes. I went from 100% no to 100% yes in one dream.
I want to see. It's absolutely beautiful. And if you think about what a mosaic is all those pieces carefully fitted together, isn't it? And it might also be a mosaic of many life designs and many life intentions brought together.
Exactly.
The mosaic building opposite Union Station, and you're brought around to it by a dream. It's a delicious dream story about manifestation, isn't it? I just think sometimes if we're not making time for our dreams, we are in such trouble. Because dreams give us a different perspective, don't they? I mean, they give us an angle of looking at things that might escape us. And as you're telling us, they might even put us into the whoosh. I think I'll have to borrow that, Kelly. I used to talk about being in the zone or being in flow, but being in the whoosh as a sort of happy, you know, devil-may-care, breezy, out on the freeway kind of style about it.
it's actually really efficient as well, because it's not so clunky. And well, let's figure this out. Let's make a spreadsheet. Not that there's anything wrong with spreadsheets, but you can't really do a detailed spreadsheet and be in the whoosh at the same time. You kind of just have to go, let's go with this.
Hard not to see someone cruising along your freeways out there in an open convertible car, waving at life, you know, the wind and the sun. I'm in the whoosh. I dreamed and I woke into the whoosh. It really works.
Wow, I like sharing the whoosh with you, Robert. This is fun.
I can see a delightful video clip or poster or a graphic, you know, illustrating the way that you will now lead people into the whoosh.
I think I'm going to write more about this. I wrote a little bit about it, but I'm feeling like there's more. Thank you for understanding my whoosh. Not just my whoosh, it's the whoosh.
I think we're demonstrating through the free-flowing, whooshy quality of this conversation just what a great game dreaming gives us. I mean, you know, people can put together sober lists of the benefits of doing more of this and solving problems, and indeed we do, and getting imagery for healing, and we do, and scouting out the future, and we do. But the game itself, the game of working and playing with dreams for own sake, is tremendous, and just letting it open a kind of flow of conversation, for one thing. I mean, this isn't just available to people like you and me who do a lot of this. Anybody can enter into this kind of game, and when they've got a simple process for talking about things. We actually did a very simplified colloquial version of my lightning dream work process when I talked to you about your dream, but we didn't do it in a workaday fashion. Step one, step two, step three. We didn't. Key elements to say, if this were my dream, I'd think about such and such. But above all, to head towards action. What are you going to do beyond analysis to bring some energy, some whoosh, from the dream into your life? And so play with it. How are you going to play with it? I mean, on some occasions, it might be shamanic shopping. You know, you're wearing a different color. Go try it on. You're wearing different heels on your shoes. Go try them out. It might be in carrying the dream to someone else that it might delight or caution. You've dreamed of someone else. Maybe the message for them, go talk to them about it. It might be developing the story, you know, making a dream oracle card, as you have done. But the whole thing is the play. The play is the thing when it comes to dreams, not to just leave them hovering out there and untended, and not to reduce them to some dry, desiccated cerebral interpretation, but to bring some energy for life, right?
Yes, and I have a wish in my whoosh to hear one of your dreams.
The wizard of whoosh.
If there ever was a whoosh, I'm in it, and I have a wish to hear your dream, one of yours.
Right.
I'll show you mine if you show me yours.
Yes, absolutely. We'll wait for the break so we don't get interrupted, but I want to share a recent dream with you and just kick it around, tickle it, and see what comes out of it. But I was just noticing, overnight I was just doing something so terribly simple. I was just not counting sheep. I back and forth. I came in on a night flight from the West Coast yesterday, so my adjustment is a little bit bumpier than sometimes, so I'm back and forth between sleep and awake. Just lying in bed counting my breaths, and I'm not doing it to fall asleep necessarily. I'm doing it to see what ideas and images rise into consciousness and how many counts it takes before something is there that starts distracting me from the count. It's just a funny little game, which you can't really call meditation. It's just a game. So I notice that some images are impatient. They come up before I've counted to three. Some images are there, but they're sort of waiting in a patient manner, like my little dog sometimes waits for first walk of the day. And some images really don't insist until I've counted up. Staying like this, I was just noticing how many images were available, you know, on the edges of conscious thought, gathering there, maybe ready to break through into the sleep dreams or break through in some other way. So we have a lot available to us anytime we're willing to pay attention in one way or another. And when we come back, I'm going to share one of my recent dreams, one from the weekend, actually, when I was teaching on the West Coast. of Kelly Sullivan Walden. I have the strangestdream.com. Is that one of the websites?
Yes, you got it.
Okay, so you can find her at ihavethestrangestdream.com. She's a wonderful guest. We're having fun. We are in the whoosh, as Kelly likes to say. We'll be back after the break with Way of the Dreamer with Robert Knopf.
You're listening to HealthyLife.net, the radio network that brings positive talk with positive change to make your world a little better.
Hello, well, you're listening to Way of the Dreamer with Robert Knopf. By the way, if you're not aware of it yet, I finally recorded one of my books as an audio version, The Dreaming the Soul Back Home. It's now available as an audio book read by me. I've been saying to people who've been asking for my books in audio format for years, I'll do it when it's made simple, and my publishers, New World Library, made it simple so you can get the book from the usual suspects. It's Audible, Amazon, etc., Dreaming the Soul Back Home. We have Kelly Sullivan Walden. We've been having great fun getting into the whoosh, as she likes to say, and she shared a dream with me. Kelly, I'm going to share a dream with you from the weekend, and it has a couple of themes that I think are of almost universal interest. One of them is being back in the old place in your dreams, back in your old home. Another is contact with the departed, in this case, beloved dogs rather than humans. And there are mystery elements I don't begin to understand yet, so it's not a dumb deal. I don't understand all of the story. So let me tell it to you, and I'll come up with a title probably after I've told you the narrative, although there is a title somewhere. All right, I'm back at the old place. And the house actually is a composite of my two previous homes before this one. And it's appeared pretty much like this in other dreams, a bit of a composite. The house is large and elegant, and it's on the side of a hill. But the real action is behind the house, where there is a barn. That was not a bad house, but there's a barn, and there are possibly several barns, and there's a garage. And I've come here to get my dogs. And a woman who is now, I'm aware I'm a visitor, I'm aware I no longer own this place. And a woman comes running out of the house yelling at me, what are you doing here? This is private property. And I say, well, I used to live here, and I've come to get my dogs. And I head towards the barn, and I think I've left my dogs in the barn, and she's really annoyed. And she yells at me, well, we heard them, meaning the dogs. I think she's implying they made a lot of noise. And the Frenchman wanted them, so he gave them to the Frenchman. I have no idea what this means, except I'm indignant that she thinks she can give my dogs to some strangers. So I say, they're my dogs, and I call them. Kipling Brandy. Those are the names of two black Labrador shepherd mutts I loved. They died many years ago. Kipling Brandy. And they come running from a garage. And they're much skinnier than they used to be. It looks as if they haven't been dead for a while. And they're covered with earth. They're covered with, I'd call it dirt, except as if they've come up from under the ground. And with them is a third dog, a German shepherd. I'd forgotten about him, but I had a German shepherd too. And they're all there, and we're very glad to see each other. And they come to me, and somehow with them, they brought a sacred book, or part of a sacred book. And it's got something to do with the Zohar, the Kabbalistic Jewish mystical text from a long time ago. Somehow there's a gift of a sacred text, and there's some funny words associated with that. And the woman's indignant, she's calling for help, so I set off with my dogs. And I'm glad to be reunited with them. So that's a summary of the dream.
Wow. So it ends with the woman being indignant.
Well, we get it. We leave. We go downtown, and I'm separated for a moment, but then Brandy, one of the black dogs, comes to get me, and we're heading off in a certain direction. So she's indignant, but she's unable to stop us. I get my dogs. And the reality check is the dogs died many years ago. I buried them all. They're all buried on the properties where I used to live. So them coming out covered with earth is as if they've actually risen from the dead.
Wow. Oh, right. I love this dream. Okay, and so what are you wanting to call this one now? What's the title of this one?
Retrieving My Dogs from the Old Place.
Retrieving My Dogs from the Old Place. Oh, I love this. Okay, so what's the... there's so many pieces of this dream. So what's the part of the dream that feels the most poignant, the most lively?
Well, it's very poignant to me that the dogs seem to have come out of the earth. I should say I used to dream a lot of the two black dogs. I mean, Kipling was killed way back in 1986, the night before Halloween, and I buried him on the farm where I was living, which is part of the composite house. I buried Brandy on the edge of the second property, and I buried Max, the German shepherd, there too. So I buried all three dogs with my own hand on land around those properties. I used to dream of the first two a lot. I don't remember ever dreaming of Max the German Shepherd before. But it is very poignant to me and somewhat puzzling that they're coming out of the ground now, because, as I say, we have had a lot of history. We had many dreams, had many experiences after with it. So why have I gone to get them now? There's a theme here I recognize but don't understand, so it's a sort of question more than a statement. I often dream of finding treasure of some kind in an old place, the place where I used to live. So it could go in the category of finding treasure in the old place. In this case, the treasure is these dogs that I loved.
Oh, wow. Well, I know time is of the essence, but I want to hear, I mean, I guess I just want to bring up a point of synchronicity. So yeah. My dog, Shadow, who is a black lab mix, I just recently picked up her ashes after months of not being able to bring myself to go pick up her ashes. Yeah. And I have them, and I want to put them on my land, and I want to do something special with them. So it's making me feel like now is the time to do that. I'm going to think about Brandy and Kipling, and I'm going to do something sacred and special with them. And so that just feels synchronistic to me, that my shadow is joining your dogs. But there's something about
that may be the main reason I chose this dream to tell you. I didn't know. I thought I'd probably tell you a dream. For some reason, this one just sort of stuck its head in. It might be because we have that current connection. You know, there are other things in play here, like your mosaic building. It might be because you're having those thoughts about Shadow, and it might be because similarly, I mean, if Shadow is my dog and I'm facing the question of what to do with Shadow's remains, it might be that I need to understand perhaps that the spirit may linger, I mean, in a positive way. Kipling's spirit lingered in such a physical way that we'd be driving the Jeep and we'd say, sit down, Kipling, because we couldn't see through the rear vision mirror. He's buried on the ground. He was around in all but physical way for a year until I did a ceremony to send him along. So it might be that we needed to have a conversation along those lines.
Ah, wow. Well, I think there's also something about bringing, unearthing them from the old place. To me, with Shadow, when I think about her in my alive connection with her, it's energizing. There's just so much. There's this instinctual, deep love that's also playful. I mean, you and I talked about this being playful today, and to me, just rolling around with the dogs, it's like unearthing this playful part. And the fact that they were skinny, to me, makes them feel like, if it's my dream, that I've neglected some aspect of that, and I want to fatten them up. And I don't know, maybe our connection will fatten us both up in a good way.
I think that gets to the heart or the marrow of the dream. I mean, I think about what the dogs represent to me, and I think unconditional love. Dogs love you no matter what. I also think of the exercise. I don't walk enough these days, even though I don't live in L.A., where I wouldn't be expected to walk. But I used to go on immense walks all the time with those dogs. So it's also alerting me, you know, not to be too sedentary. I mean, my little dog doesn't require long walks, but I do.
Right.
So something I'm missing, which will be the reverse of fattening up. It might be the reverse of slimming down and getting back into the woods.
I need
to take the kind of walks I did with my beloved dog. So that's part of the practicality of it.
So you
already gave me something precious to think about, Kelly. We have to take another of our breaks. We're talking to Kelly Sullivan Walden. She's written some very interesting books about dreams. She has some Hero's Journey, Dream Oracle cards. You can find her at ihadthestrangestdream.com. We'll be back for more playfulness and dreaming after the break. This is Robert Moss. You're listening to Way of the Dreamer.
HealthyLife.net, where positive overcomes negative.
Here we are on Way of the Dreamer with Robert Moss, talking to the wonderful Kelly Sullivan Walden and playing with our dreams and with ideas for life and discovering just how much the dream source gives us. It gives us information. In this morning, for example, Kelly, I find myself looking at my boarding pass for coming flights, and I have an F seat. It's in the right class. It's in Comfort Plus, which on Delta is not too bad, but it's an F seat against the window, and I don't like window seats, like aisle seats I can get in and out. So I don't know which flight this is, but I'm going to check my boarding, my seat assignment for coming flights, so I don't get stuck in an F seat as I was the other day. So I mean, this is the most routine, picayune kind of stuff. You know, I get sometimes seat assignments I didn't make because I get bumped up a grade and then they give me a seat. So that's the most pedestrian level of dream information. You see something that you might need to check out. Then I dream that as a teacher, I'm showing people a door with many other doors on either side. When they see the first door, I can guide them to select which of the other doors they're going to go through. And these doors open into places of wisdom, places of initiation, places of healing, and into other worlds. And so I'm playing teacher, and although it seems like a physical setting in the dream, it's precisely like the dreams in which Robert as teacher is guiding people to step through different doors. And it's a sketch, I think, of something I might now do in a workshop, because I know there's another thing going on in my dreams, is that my dream self is ahead of me. He knows things I don't yet know. He's met people I haven't yet met. So if I follow in his tracks carefully enough, I might find myself coming to a place where I am well prepared to launch something new because I've done it already. So those are two examples of what might go on in an average night, not just me, but for any of us. We start paying attention because we do go ahead of ourselves. And we do see things that might come up. We can use the information, and then we have adventures all over the place beyond that.
That's beautiful. That's so true. Very practical. It's efficient to pay attention to dreams. I'm so curious about your French man. I was just thinking about how much I love France just before we started this conversation. But in this dream, the French man in your dream is a little bit of a, I don't know, he feels a little like a nemesis.
Interesting you hearing it as French man. I heard it as Frenchman plural. But as you say it, But, you know, I mean, we can mishear things in dreams just as in regular life. I'm now wondering whether she said French men or French man. I think she said Frenchman, meaning there was a family. I think she was talking about a French family. I'm not absolutely sure. It remains mysterious to me who the French, whoever they are, might be. I mean, I live in a part of North America where there are battles between the French and the English before the Revolution. And, of course, during the Revolution, the French sided with the people of making the Revolution. So, and I've written about that historical novel. So the Frenchmen in North America have certain meaning for me. I teach in France every year. I've been teaching in France for many years. I have many French connections. I don't think of any antagonism with people that I know in France, but it's a mystery. You know, Jung once said that, you know, he was often completely puzzled by things in his dreams and couldn't figure them out, but he found that if he walked with them for long enough and let time pass, they would become clear. And sometimes there are elements like that which will not reveal themselves until life provides a context we don't have at the time of the dream. So although I'm curious, I don't feel a great urgency about deciding who the Frenchmen are. Whoever the Frenchmen are, they did not get my dogs. They did not get the sacred text. I made off with that, so that's dealt with for now. But I keep it in mind as an unresolved element, an unexplained element, a mystery element. This is one of the things about dreams, I think, where again, I think you and I converge. Dreams are maybe always showing us more than we already know. So we don't want to be too quick to think we know what's going on in a dream, because it's adding something. It might be large or small. But I think our ordinary minds, however bright we might think we are, can only contain so much information. We've only figured out so many things. Our dreams give us a different perspective and sometimes quite different content from what is consciously available to us. So if we're not paying attention to dreams, we're leaving a lot out there which can actually not only give us adventure and romance, but it can orient us to coping with everyday situations.
Absolutely. I think when there's something so many aspects of dreams are odd or different compared to normal waking life, but when something is particularly odd, then to me it feels like I draw a circle around it, like I'm looking at this sign, literally at the mosaic that's got a circle with an arrow in it. So to me, the Frenchman, for me, it's curious. And I think of the French for myself, in my mind, in my world, everything in French and in France is beautiful and elegant and lovely. It's not exactly whoosh-y. It's beautiful, but it's not... It's more refined. It's a little bit more, to me, it's a little bit more erudite than like kind of the wild whoosh of things. So At least that's where I go. But I love it. I love all things French, and I'm not just jealous, but I'm inspired that I've taught in France a couple times, but I want to go back, and I'd love for that to be. I'm going to borrow your waking dream and have like a regular thing in France. That would be a dream for me.
Can you want to add two French colloquialisms to a vocabulary if you don't have them already? I'll apply them to tu es branché, which means that you are connected and smart. Branché literally means that you branch out. You know, antlers, you branch out. It means you're connected.
Ooh,
you're in touch.
This
girl is connected, has the right connection. Tu es stylé. Stylé means you're stylish, but it's a fun colloquial thing. It's a wooshy kind of word. I think the only negative undertone in Frenchmen to me is I'm someone who loves France, who wrote a piece on a thesis on French literature, who is very unconfident of his spoken French. I mean, my accent isn't too bad, but my grammar and my recognition of genders is a bit iffy, and so I'm still not as confident as I might be in French. So I think in that sense, I have to look to expanding my French credentials, let's say.
Okay,
we're heading for
one.
Another of those breaks, Kelly. After that, it'll be basically bisous, which means little kisses, air kisses, the French way. But we'll be back. You're listening to Where the Dream with Robert Moss. We'll be back with Kelly Sullivan Walden after our last break.
Radio Your Way. HealthyLife.net.
Been listening to Way of the Dreamer. This is Robert Moss. Go to my website, mossdreams.com, please. We're in the midst of one of my live video courses for the Shift Network. You could probably still get yourself into that and catch up with the recordings, the first three classes, if you want to. Our wonderful guest today is Kelly Sullivan Walden. Je t'embrasse, Kelly. I give you a hug because you love France and you want to go back to France. Thank you so much for sharing with us.
Tu es branché, Robert. This was so, Robert, this was so much fun. Thank you so much for having me in the sandbox of dreams. It's so playful and magical to be with you. You golden boy, all grown up.
Oh, such funny. Well, golden girl, go happily, joyfully into the whoosh, and may your best dreams come true.
Thank you so much. And may everybody remember they're already made golden.
All right. May, for everybody, may your best dreams come true, and may you remember them.